Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast. My name's Ross Flanagan, your co-host, sitting here back alongside Jamie Glazier, the Chief Operating Officer of the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast. It's been a while, Jamie. Welcome back to your own podcast. Welcome to 2024's year of podcasting. First and foremost, how are you, Jamie? It's great to catch back up with you on the podcast. Are you well?
Thanks, Roscoe. Yeah, I'm very well. Been a nice start to 2024, and yeah, it's great to connect back on the podcast. I think you and I caught up about a month ago for a chat just to see how we both are, and you know, we threw around a couple of ideas and then we landed on a new format that I'm super excited about sort of delivering in 2024. And I think, you know, the content and the discussions that we're going to have with this new format, as I said, mate, very, very exciting.
Well, last year, I think the last episode we did was at the start of last year, and you know, certainly 2023 went by very quickly. But what I do know is a lot of people were asking me continually, when's the podcast coming back? Are you doing it again? And it wasn't a thing of not doing it. It was just that time got in the way. But I think based on all of the people that continue to listen to the 60 or so episodes that we've already got out there, it's evergreen learning, people getting something out of it, people keep coming back saying, I love it, do some more. When we talked towards the end of the last year, we said, look, let's keep this great stuff happening, see if we can make it even more beneficial to some individuals, make it more beneficial to the wider audience that, you know, don't get access to you. And I think this new format that you've created is going to be really, really engaging for a lot of the golfers out there, and in particular, the golfer that we get to speak to week in, week out. Now, we've got a very special golfer and a very good friend of mine as our first guest in this new format. His name's Scott Carter. Now, if you listen to the My Love of Golf podcast, you know, my foundational podcast, you could say, you will know Scott's name and you'll know his voice. And he's very kindly and well, we've been talking about it for a while, agreed to come on and be the guest on this 2024 series of the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast. Now, you guys haven't ever met Jamie Glazier, Scott Carter sitting here. Scott Carter, Jamie Glazier. Welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Yeah, lovely to have you on, mate.
No, nice to meet you, Jamie. Thank you. This has been talked about for a little while. I've been really kind of looking forward to it and happy to come on and finally meet you. I've listened to a few of the previous podcasts, so good to meet you. Or across the screen anyway.
Yeah, no, that's great, mate. And I think, you know, as Ross sort of spoke about before, the new format being one of, I suppose we should, you know, explain that to the listeners, Ross, that, you know, the discussion we had, we thought maybe a 30-minute live session on the podcast where we really unpack the guest's mental game and help provide them with, you know, a couple of strategies, a couple of tools to go away with to help improve that aspect of their golf game. And I think once we bounced that idea across each other, we thought it was going to be a great idea. And Scott's obviously, you know, been gracious enough and courageous enough to be the first guest on that new format. So he did mention he's got a box of tissues there just in case, but hopefully it'll be a lot more enjoyable than the need for that.
Well, I was going to say, Jamie, you know, the genesis of the idea when we started speaking came from a discussion that Scott and I had off air when we were recording our podcast one night. And, you know, we just usually open up each week, how's your golf been? Where'd you play? Who'd you play with? All that sort of stuff. And all of a sudden out came this stuff from Scott telling me how, where he was with his golf in particular, everything pointed towards his mental game. And, you know, I just sat back and listened and I said, you know, you really need the help of someone like Jamie to, you know, really unpack this because it's detracting from your enjoyment of the game first and foremost. And when it detracts from your enjoyment, it was detracting from your performance. And it was just really hard to sit there and listen to Scott be so open about it in a way that, you know, he was really impacted by it. And I guess, you know, we talked about, hey, can we do this as an idea? And then it just extrapolated into, you know, what can potentially be, you know, this ongoing format. So I guess Scott was really part of that foundation discussion and it's really great that he's here joining us for the first time and hopefully, you know, definitely going to get some benefit out of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Ross, and I think that's why it was great to get Scott as the first guest of the new format because, you know, he was the, I suppose, the trigger for that discussion. And, I think, you know, last year for me was a very, very busy year, traveled a hell of a lot, and the podcast just sort of, with our time differences and things like that, it just became very difficult to execute. But the more and more I do know is that club golfers have been engaging with the podcast. I get messages all the time, but also their relationship with golf is sometimes quite an unhealthy one. And it, you know, I won't say it shouldn't be. It's a brutal game and it's a hard game, but it doesn't have to be, you know, that type of a relationship. So, you know, helping you know, club-level golfers and golfers of all levels really be able to have a healthy relationship with the game is just so powerful, both on the course and, more importantly, off the course as well. So yeah, I think it's going to be a fun episode, and I'm really looking forward to executing these in 2024.
Well, you know, without further ado, you know, you guys should really talk and find out what's at the nub of, you know, Scott's mental game and where he was and maybe where he is now, and see what comes out of it, hey?
That'd be great. Well, Scott, I sort of – the plan with this type of a format is, you know, that 30-minute session where I just start with some basic questions around your golf, and then that'll sort of create a bit of a pathway of discussion for us as we go through. So I suppose, you know, simply first thing – how long have you been playing golf for?
I think I started playing kind of at a fairly young age, like single digits, you know, 6 or 8. I remember playing on the old sand greens at Ningen with my dad and my brothers on a family trip out there. But then I joined the club, Asquith Golf Club, when I was 13. So really kind of 11, 12 is when I probably started to play a little bit more regularly. And, yeah.
Right. And currently, where do you play and what handicap are you off?
So I'm at Royal Spring Valley Golf Club in Melbourne, the jewel of the Sandbelt, let's say, the hidden jewel of the Sandbelt. Currently play at off 7.4. Yep. And, yeah.
Great. And how often do you get out to play?
So just coming off the back of some school holidays, so that really got in the way, looking after the kids. But they're back at school now, so normal scheduling can resume, which is every Wednesday. Yeah. I play in the comp every Wednesday, and maybe on the odd occasion I might get another game in on a Monday.
Yeah, great. And as far as practice, training, what does that look like throughout the week?
Yeah, if the chore list on a Monday is a little bit too long, then maybe I get to the range for 1 to 2 hours on a Monday and hit some balls and hit a couple of putts. But I usually try and get to the course around an hour beforehand and hit a bucket of balls and do some chips and hit some putts as well. But that's probably the extent of it. But the putting practice will change soon as we get a putting green installed here at home, so that'll enable me to hit some putts every day, which will be good, I've had in the past. And yeah, practicing hitting a few putts every day really does help those little 5-footers, I've found.
Yeah, fabulous. I suppose experiencing any stress and anxiety in the game of golf, like how does that present itself if you do experience any of that?
Yeah, and I think when I started talking to Roscoe about it, I was at an absolute low point. I felt mentally in my game, and that was presenting itself, I think, like just a total lack of ability to overcome, you know, a bad hole or a bad shot or whatever, and the frustration coming out verbally and just. Yeah, mentally just defeated, I guess. So that would be I don't really get very kind of nervous or anxious about around a golf these days. I think part of my problem over time has been I would be going to play a really nice course and I would put a ton of pressure on myself to play well. And I had all these dreams and visions of playing well, and when that didn't happen, then I couldn't handle it. I couldn't cope with it. So it just destroyed my enjoyment of that moment and that experience. That happens less so these days. And I think, but, you know, I put so much pressure on the score and wanting to score well and wanting to get the handicap down that is kind of more the pressure and anxiety that I put on myself.
Yeah. Fabulous. And if we look at sort of where your game is right now, where you are with the game, what would your goals be if you have any sort of moving forward?
Yeah, and I do like to write some golf with some golf goals at the start of every year. So something my wife and I do is like set some goals for the year, but I do some golf goals as well. And at the moment I'm 7.5. I've been as low as 4 before, once upon a time. So I think my end goal would be to get down to 4 by the end of the year. But having listened to a few of your podcasts, I do like the stepped approach and like setting kind of, you know, goals, yeah, like a stepping down to that. So trying to get to 6.5 by May, 5.5 by August, and 4.0 by the end of the year. I want to try and win 3 of the weekly events at Spring Valley this year. I did want to try and play 50 individual rounds in 2024. That hasn't been off to a great start yet. I think I'm up to 2. And yeah, I don't even really know how I came up with this number, Jamie, but I want to try and make 80 birdies this year.
Okay.
And have no 3 putts.
No 3 putts for the whole year.
Yeah, as I was kind of reviewing that and preparing for this pod, I thought that is ambitious, especially knowing how I can putt. But perhaps I need to like step, you know, have a stepped approach to that one as well.
Great. I mean, I think for me, you know, a couple of the discussion points there already are fantastic. You know, the goals that you've set, I think are really great. You know, the 50 rounds a year and the 80 birdies, as you say, when we come up with goals, we want to try and have some sort of reasonable expectation or some sort of equation that made us come up with that goal. Otherwise, we always want to be mindful of just setting ourselves up for a little bit of failure. And but, you know, again, I just like the fact that you've put those there, the no 3 putts. Interesting how all of the goals are outcome goals. So, you know, when we talk about that, I then come up with, okay, I ask people, well, what are your ABCs that are going to help you to achieve those outcomes? What are the daily actions, the behaviors, the processes that are going to help shift performance to enable you to achieve those goals? So would you have much clarity on what those might look like this year versus what actually happened last year from a process or a behavior point of view?
Yeah, so when I did have a putting green at home, I had a goal of hitting 20 putts a day. And so I think like once I have that resource again, then I might be able to achieve that, like hit 20 putts a day, and that'll kind of, I guess, help get me to that outcome of no 3 putts or fewer 3 putts. But outside of that, yeah, I haven't really thought through how some other process might help the other ones.
Yeah.
Jamie, I was just going to say, you know, when Scott and I were having that D&M conversation that night, you know, and Scott, tell me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I was trying to take some of the learnings that I've, you know, gleaned from yourself after, you know, a couple of years of doing this great work and offering some level of support. It became apparent that, you know, Scott was like very conscious of head thoughts over the ball, you know, at the moment of trying to pull the trigger, you know, standing there with like darts, you know, hitting him in the brain of don't do this, don't be there, don't be that. And, you know, I think that the conversation just there started to make me think about trying to articulate, you know, that's what I sort of pulled out of that conversation right at the start. And might have been one of the contributing factors to, you know, some other things happening in and around the game. Is that right, Scott? Did we talk about that?
We 100% did, Roscoe. I think one of the really early podcasts you guys did, you talked about that the 3 C's that you mentioned, and since that day, like I don't think about anything else over the ball other than, you know, clarity, confidence, and commit, and I think since that conversation we've had, like I've played much more consistent golf, scored, you know, in the kind of mid 30 points, and just got more consistency back into the game. And it helped kind of clear the thoughts there standing over the ball. So, So yeah, I've definitely got a lot out of that very small step and process for sure.
I just thought that conversation related to, you know, not the outcome, but you know, everything else that creates that outcome, and just as an example to share. Yeah,
absolutely. And the reason why I sort of spoke about those, what are the ABCs for you to focus on this year that are going to help drive performance? You know, you spoke about, and this is a really interesting one, you know, in my field, the sort of the art of visualization is people get it so confused where typically what we'll do, and I fell into this habit for years when I was competing both as a tennis player and a golfer, but we visualize greatness. We visualize ourselves breaking our personal best score, and we visualize ourselves just performing really, really well. And what that does is that sets up a layer of expectation of what we want to have happen. And then inevitably within the first few holes, when perfection doesn't, isn't stepped into or not achieved, we're not prepared for the disappointment of that, or not prepared for what do we then do. So I think when you spoke about that vision of, you know, preparing or vision of playing great, that is also going to put a layer of pressure and expectation on you before you even get out there. And then, as I said, the second that doesn't go well, we don't have a strategy in place.
So I might need to get the couch and the tissues out in a second. But so, Jamie, I lived in the US for 4 years, and every night when I needed to fall asleep and I couldn't fall asleep, every single night I would close my eyes and think about playing Spring Valley. And it would just to go through hole by hole. And I birdied every hole. It was amazing. I played amazing golf in those visions. And so, you know, I think that it wouldn't surprise me if that also plays into like raising those expectations that I have every time I step out on Spring Valley. Well, I know how to play this hole. I know I'm going to hit a cut there, and I'm going to hit the green, and it's going to go from left to right, and I'm going to sink the putt, and I'm going to walk. I've made three. But when that doesn't happen, and I'm so set on, you know, challenging myself and getting that handicap down and all of these things, I think just kind of builds up and up and up.
Yeah, for sure. And then you add another layer of, in your past life, you've been a four marker, being off the handicap you're off now, 7.5, you're still a really, really good golfer. Being a four marker, you're a really, really, really good golfer. So that, I wonder whether the comparison that you might carry around versus the golfer that you used to be, is just probably going to even add another layer of pressure and expectation, and then also a shorter fuse when it comes to acceptance.
Yeah, I think it does. On the other flip side, though, I think over time I've been able to go, oh, okay, well, if I have a couple of bad holes, and in previous times I'd just throw it all in and go, oh, that's the end of the day. There's no point. I'm 28 points, you know, I'm out of it. And then you just spiral from there. I guess I've built up a little bit of memory around, well, hey, I've played that nine in even par. So I can do that. I'm capable of doing that. And that's helping me kind of bounce back from those bad holes. Even yesterday, you know, like I was tracking really well, playing with Sid, kicking his butt, but made a wipe, made a double, and then, you know, was able to bounce back, go, well, hang on, like I can play the rest of these holes in one over and I'll be here. So and was able to bounce back and kind of get almost to that point. So I think that history is also helping in the thoughts as well, but it's also putting a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, that ability to bounce back, like having that as one of the goals, one of the ABCs, you know, if that is a pattern. I talk about this with a lot of golfers that they might struggle to bounce back. So if they do have that framework of visualizing themselves playing really, really great and putting that pressure on themselves to perform, obviously that makes bouncing back a lot more difficult. So when we set that as a goal for this, you know, this 3 months coming up, that's what we're going to really work on. Let's see if we can bounce back after some of these, you know, little speed bumps that we have in a round of golf. Here's a strategy, here's a tool to help you to reset and refocus on that next hole. Being that little bit more process-driven, you know, helps you to sort of stabilize around a golf as opposed to, like, you know, double bogey, 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 bogey in a row. And, you know, ultimately that's going to help not only the outcome performance but your ability to enjoy the day and the round of golf as well, as opposed to hanging on to that one little hurdle.
Yeah. And, you know, I even create hurdles for myself, right? Like if I have a hot start, I start to get all these visions about, like, raising the trophy and telling my friends and telling my wife, and I won this and I had 40 points. And then, you know, since that conversation with Ross, I'm really trying hard to, like, pull myself back and be like, hey, no, cut it out, you know, like, don't even start thinking like that. Like, just concentrate on that next shot and the three C's. And yeah, I think definitely yesterday I can remember standing on the tee, you know, double bogeyed the 13th, but then standing on the tee on the 14 and going, okay, start again, boom, next shot, like, clarity, confidence, commit, boom, hit the green, two putts, 3-3, walk away, thank you very much. So yeah. But it is a battle inside my head to stop myself you know, imagining these scenarios.
Yeah And this is really great, because we all know, when we go on this little daydream, whether it is, you know, like what you did when you're in the US, every night you'd visualize playing Spring Valley and the daydream was being every hole, that's a really nice place to be. We enjoy daydreaming and we enjoy attaching outcomes and all the good stuff. Like, that's just a really, really nice thing for us to do. The problem then becomes is when we set that up as an expectation, and almost like a measurement of comparison as to how am I holding up, that becomes, you know, quite productive. But the other thing that you talked about there was stopping yourself. Like, if I talk a lot about, you know, people with negative thoughts or people with visions of grandeur, you know, holding up the trophy and all that sort of stuff, all of these thoughts are very natural, very normal parts of our cognitive function, and we actually don't want to fight or try and stop any of them. We actually want to create the skill of recognizing what it is and then just letting it pass. Because when we stop and try and fight or avoid or block these thoughts, our attention becomes on that as opposed to the task at hand, which is just the three C's on this one shot.
Yep. Interesting.
And,
yeah.
And that was the great thing that you did after the double, was you reset. You had your mind connect to a system, a process, that enabled you to control your focus in the moment and not have your mind either focusing on the past of the double bogey. Same process applies when you're playing great. Recognize the visions of grandeur, future thinking, and just let those pass and come back to that system, that process of the three C's, just to ultimately help you to control your focus, because that's really all performance is. It's just being able to control your focus on the present moment.
Yeah, that's interesting, mate, because I do use a lot of energy, mental energy, to fight those thoughts, and, like, they come in and I go, no, stop it, and then I start calling myself names. You idiot, what are you doing? Don't think like that. Why would you think that you're not going to win this? And so I start fighting it, but what I'm hearing is maybe it would be better to be to, like, acknowledge it and recognize that, yes, that would be nice, but the next shot is more important than that, and, like, let's just kind of get back to the three C's on the next shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just that, you know, I suppose for so long we thought or were taught about, you know, negative thoughts are bad, they produce negative outcomes, we don't want to think about them. A lot of the pre-shot routine in the game of golf many years ago was actually built and created from a pattern of avoidance. We've got to keep our mind occupied so we don't have negative thoughts. But all of the pre-shot stuff was done prior to us actually pulling the trigger. So whatever we do behind the ball, it's not going to have any impact, or it won't have much of an impact on what happens when we're swinging the golf club. So, but there's no routine or process for most people when they're swinging a golf club. They don't know what their mind's doing. So what we want to look at doing is just instead of avoiding or blocking or trying to stop these thoughts that really don't mean anything, just because you're thinking about the fact that you don't want to hit it in the water doesn't mean you're going to hit it in the water. But when we fight and avoid the thought of not hitting into the water, we take our focus off the task at hand.
Mm.
And then that's where a poor execution comes from, is a distracted focus. So we want to be able to just let these thoughts come and let them go, and be able to have our mind calm and clear to reconnect with that task at hand and that system that we've put in place.
Yeah, that's interesting too, mate. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of golfers like stand on a tee and go, oh, I'll always hit it right on here, I'll always go in the water here, and probably stand there and fight those thoughts and are unable to execute, you know, the shot. Yep. And end up going in the water, you know, every single time. So, yeah, that's really, really interesting.
Yeah. So there's a great little exercise that I call it a leaf drill, and we can do it here. It's basically just an exercise where we get you to imagine that you're sitting by a body of water. You close your eyes. You imagine these big leaves just floating on the body of water, just slowly past you. And on those leaves, there are certain words. So it might be, and we'll come up with those in a minute, but it might be negative thoughts. It might be fear of failure. Like whatever people's triggers are, they actually put those triggers on these leaves. So they see the fear of failure written on a leaf. They watch it come in, and then they watch it float by while they're sitting on this body of water in a nice, calm, relaxed state. They recognize the leaf, but they don't have a physiological response to it.
Mm.
They just let it pass by. When we have a physiological response to these things is when we actually fight and avoid them, and our mind is connected to that trigger for an extended period of time. If we're thinking about that for longer than sort of two and a half seconds, the brain will process that trigger and then release a corresponding chemical. So if we can train ourselves to have that cognitive pattern of recognize it, let it pass, and we won't have that physiological response, that increased heart rate, that stress, that tension in our hands, that sort of fight response. We just let it go, and then that puts us in a much better place to be able to reconnect and sort of focus on that task at hand. So if you were to give me sort of three things that common patterns you spoke before about that, you know, the thought of trying to stop yourself from thinking about winning, or, you know, what would be the three things that you would recognize in a round of golf on a relatively consistent basis that interrupts your focus on the task at hand?
So I think, like, focusing on the score way too much. Like, I think in my head, if I get anything less than 32 points, then I'm a total failure. And, you know, if it starts with a two, well then, you know, I'm just wasting everybody's time and mine included. Fear of low scores, I guess. Yeah. I do think that it's at a point where, like, I don't want to have those visions of winning. You know, like I guess I almost fear those visions coming in. I know they're going to come. I know they've been coming for years, but yeah, like I do. Like I said, I spend a lot of time and effort mentally to try and block those out. What else?
Two of the main things that you sort of experience, two's more than enough. If there's something else that pops into your mind, fantastic, but
is it relevant to say, like, missing a 2-foot putt, you know, like standing over those very small putts, I've missed plenty and gone through stages where I've missed a lot at once.
Yeah.
So even today, like, I stand over those and go, I've got to really think about it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about the putting. I know you sort of alluded to that a little bit earlier, but so yeah, just some shorter putts, missing shorter putts.
Yep.
Okay. Great. All right. Now all I need you to do is think of a body of water, like a nice calm body of water that you have like a positive sort of history with. I don't know whether there's something there that jumps out.
Yep, there is. Yep. Yeah, nice little lake in Oregon. Yep.
Okay, perfect lake in Oregon. Fantastic. Okay, well, what I'll get you to do is I'll just get you to sort of sit there and close your eyes for me for a minute. Okay, just want you to spend sort of 5 or 6 seconds just trying to calm and clear your mind. Okay, when your mind's nice and calm and clear, I want you to just try to imagine yourself sitting in that lake in Oregon in a nice, calm, relaxed position, looking out at that water, just really absorbing that nice, calm, relaxed environment. When you feel like you're in a position of being nice and calm or relaxed and you can see that body of water pretty clearly, just give me a yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What I want you to do is I want you to sort of look over to your right-hand side and you can recognize there's quite a big leaf that is sort of slowly floating towards you. And on that leaf, you see the words fear of failure. And I want you to recognize what that relates to in your game of golf. The fact that you're worried about having a poor score, you're scared of having a round in the 20s and you perceive that it's a waste of time. And I want you to just recognize that. And as that leaf floats towards you, just let it float by. Again, recognizing the fear of failure and how it connects with your game of golf, but you're just going to let that pass. Once you've seen that leaf just pass on by, you look again to the right-hand side and you're seeing another leaf. This time on the leaf, you recognize the words visions of winning. And again, I want you to sort of connect with the meaning of that when it comes to a round of golf. During good rounds, when you're playing well, it's just natural and normal to have these visions of winning, but they don't mean anything. They don't mean to add any pressure on you to continue to perform well. You just recognize that leaf with the words vision of winning on it and you just let it come. And again, you just let it pass. All the time while seeing these leaves, you're still in that nice, calm, relaxed place. Not being triggered by those leaves, not being triggered by the words on it. You're just letting them come and you're letting them go. And then finally, you see one more leaf coming towards you. And on that leaf, you see missed short putts. And again, you recognize how that relates to your golf game and that worry and fear of missing short putts. Again, I just want you to sit there in a nice, calm, relaxed place as you see that leaf come, recognize the words on it, and then let that leaf float by. Okay, once you've seen that leaf float by, I want you to just sit there for a few seconds in that nice, calm, relaxed state and just recognize that when these thoughts come to you in the round of golf, these thoughts come to you during the day, that they can just come and they can go. They don't mean anything. They can just pass on by and you can keep your mind nice and calm and clear and focus on the task at hand. All right, mate, whenever you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes. All right, what did that feel like? What did you experience?
Yeah, very calming, very calming. Absolutely. I don't know whether it was your voice, Jamie, or the quietness, but no, it was very, very calming and relaxing.
Yeah.
A great visualization.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's just a really good exercise for anything that triggers us during a round of golf, things that we might fight, struggle with. It just helps us to recognize that they're, very natural and normal parts of our functioning and also parts of the game of golf, and not to fight them, avoid them, but just let them be and then let them pass. And as I said, not only does that help to keep us in a really nice, calm, relaxed physiological state and mental state, but that's almost step one to be able to then have that clarity of focus to just continue to commit to the task at hand and what your process is and what your system that you put in place for you to perform well. So, so that's a great one to practice, you know, one, two times a day, just when you find a quiet space. You know, it only needs to be a 3 or 4 minute exercise, but it actually can really create a healthy and powerful cognitive pattern of firstly that self-awareness and recognition of thoughts and then just letting them pass.
Yeah, I can imagine doing that in the car just before you're kind of getting out of the car at golf. I can see that being super useful in like just calming the senses and calming everything down before you get out and go and enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of, you know, what we're sort of talking about here to a certain degree is, you know, under the banner of expectation management. And, you know, if we look at, and the reason why I asked, you know, how often do you play and how often do you practice is I want to try and get a bit of an insight into first and foremost your competency. What's that training look like that builds the skills and the competency where good quality expectations can come from? You know, it's if you're putting some good training in and getting some good reps in, then some expectation can come into play in a healthy way. So I know that, you know, for a lot of club level golfers, we're very time restricted. You know, I've spoken to Roscoe earlier. I'm going to try and get some time this afternoon to go out and hit some golf balls. And it will be, I think I played twice last year. The whole year I played 2 rounds of golf. And I might have gotten 2 practice sessions in of 30 minutes, which is, it just showed me last year for me, however I went about last year wasn't sustainable. Like, no, I can't function without that connection with a hobby that I love so much. And just having lost that the last couple of years with the move up to the Gold Coast, it's just, I'm going to make that a priority for me. So, but being able to put some structure in, what am I doing? If I've got a 20-minute practice session, I can go and beat balls and have some fun. But if I want to actually get better, I've got to put some structure in. What am I doing? What am I trying to build here? So I think, as you said, with your putting, you know, you get the putting green back at the new place and then you can put some reps in. But up until that point, I think, you know, a lot of acceptance and potentially, I won't say forgiveness, but just a lack of comparison to the visions of grandeur that we might have and then also the old you along the way, you know, might be able to create a little bit of that flexibility for you. I think, yeah. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, mate. And I think with anything, if you're not practicing or putting the work in, it's hard to expect to get better or to improve. So, that makes total sense. Definitely played my best golf when I've had the chance to be, you know, down at the course 2 or 3 times a week and practicing 1.5 of those times and maybe playing 1.5 the other 1.5. So getting that balance between practice and play definitely has, you know, led to better performances in the past.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, when we look at, you know, that leaf drill, as I said, is a really great one for you to start to train the cognitive side of performance and just, you know, again, recognizing those things and letting them pass. The other thing that I think could be really useful, because you do love and have a great relationship and history with visualization, is continue to do that, but let's just shift a little bit about what you're actually imagining. So instead of imagining, you know, 18 birdies and playing great and holding up the trophy, probably like you to think about visualizing, you know, when I say your reality, like from a performance point of view, you know, missing fairways, you know, missing greens, but more so visualize how you're going to react and respond, how you're going to reset your focus and how you're going to connect with your clarity, confidence and commitment. Visualize, you know, even something around your enjoyment for the game as it is.
Yeah.
And those sort of things that you've got control over that we know is going to help to drive better performance. So I would still highly recommend visualizing, but just visualize, you know, your reality and things going imperfectly.
Yeah, that's again also interesting, Jamie. Like, I think there's been times where, like, I've recognised that I've put so much pressure on performing well, and I get up and I go on a Wednesday, and I go, I'm going to have 36 points, and I'm playing with, you know, I get the chance to play with really good players at the club, and so I want to, you know, be up to their standard, and you know, put all my pressure on all this pressure on myself. But then, at times, I've recognised that I do that, and so then my visualization, I guess, just naturally, or I don't know why, but switches to, just like enjoying the game and just like being grateful for being out there and like seeing myself just walk around smiling, laughing, having a joke with the boys and just enjoying the experience rather than, you know, making a birdie or whatever the score is. So, that makes a lot of sense. It resonates really strongly with me.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, it was a conversation I had with a client yesterday around they often get off to a poor start but have a great second night. And when we broke it down, a lot of it was this expectation of self. And when after 6, 7, 8, 9 holes, they finally failed, which is the thing that they feared the most. When they finally failed, now they've got freedom to perform because what they feared has become reality.
Yep.
So then they create that freedom and they go and perform really nicely. So I think, and, you know, we had Keely Marks, an episode on last year about a relationship with handling hard better.
Right.
You know, when things are going well, most people don't need me or don't need, you know, the service that I provide. But it's either when things are going really, really well or things are going poorly that they need some tools and some strategies around it. So, you know, the handling hard better is a really cool concept, and, you know, that using the visualization to visualize imperfection, but how you're going to react, respond, and how you're going to be able to control your focus throughout that period is probably a very, very powerful visualization versus, you know, visualizing the 18 birdies. And it might not feel as good. The adrenaline or endorphins may not get released as much, but
yeah,
it's going to set you up to perform better and enjoy that environment, you know, a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, just as you're kind of talking there, Jay, I'm just thinking about like how this kind of thinking and approach can be applied to like outside of golf. And I know that, you know, when Claire and I are trying to get organized for the week and we've got drop-offs and pickups and work and balance and everything happening, like if we don't have a plan, if we haven't sat down and like planned out the week, then and it's day by day, it's chaos. And that's when, you know, everyone gets a little bit testy and you know, things aren't going to plan and maybe fuses are a little bit shorter. And I think when Roscoe and I were talking, we're in the middle of trying to sell the house and that wasn't going to the plan. But I do remember us having to kind of bring ourselves back and go, okay, are we doing everything in our control to sell that house? Are we with the right agent? Have we done the right thing? Is it priced right? Well, then if we are, well, then, you know, there's nothing more we can do ourselves to impact that result. Just I guess going through the checklist and the preparation for the week and coming back to those things will definitely help.
Yeah, that's really good point. And, you know, I spoke before about forgiveness. I had a really cool conversation with a client this morning who played the Vic Open last week, and he said he found himself last week. This wasn't a discussion that we've had. It's more of a byproduct of some other really good processes in place and having a healthy relationship with self. But he said, I found myself walking down the fairway and saying to myself, it's okay. I didn't mean to hit it there. It's okay. Don't beat myself, you know, up and don't berate myself for hitting a bad shot. I didn't intend to do that. It wasn't what I meant. It's okay. Where last year he might have been like, you idiot, you did this, yeah, you did that. So, you know, what you were saying there about the plan, you put a plan in place. A lot of times a plan doesn't go to plan, but it doesn't mean you intended it to go that way. So giving yourself that little bit of forgiveness, a little bit of self-compassion is always really, really powerful. So, you know, a lot of these frameworks are the same frameworks I put in place with my corporate clients and that sort of stuff. It's really interesting. So hopefully some of the strategies we've given you today, mate, not only can apply to your golf game and help you there, but can help, you know, help you in business and that sort of stuff. But, you know, I think that's a really great beginning, and I'd love to sort of see how you progress with that over the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks. And Roscoe, I think maybe getting Scott on again in a couple of months and just checking in and see how some of that progress has gone, I think could be really cool as well.
Absolutely, Jamie. And, you know, Scott, I look forward to, you know, checking in with you on a week-to-week basis and following along. You know, that exercise, Jamie, I'm sitting here, did it alongside Scott, did it myself, and it was great. And if you listen to that and you weren't sure what was going on, go back and do the exercise and go through that process and do it again and do it with full commitment, because, you know, that whole seeing the leaf go past and letting it go, you know, I can almost see whatever it is that I put on that leaf going away, and I know that I could step over the line into a shot and the leaf's gone and I'm not worried about it. So that was really, really good. Scott, yes, of course, we'll touch base on all of that, but I look forward to seeing how you get out there on the course and hopefully with some more skills in your pocket to, you know, get out there and overcome some of the things that we've discussed. Can't wait to see it happen.
Yeah. No, definitely, mate. I definitely feel like I've got a couple more tools in the toolkit now and can prepare a little bit better and manage those expectations a little bit differently.
No, that's great, mate. Any questions or anything before we go?
No, I think this has been amazing. As I said, a couple more tools in the kit and definitely feel like I'll be able to be more prepared heading into just, you know, with the goal of just enjoying the game more and getting back to loving the game as I used to. So, which I feel like I'm on the path to, but this is really, really helpful.
Awesome, mate. Well, again, thank you so much for being a part of it. And I appreciate your time, your openness. And as I said, I think, you know, that conversation that you and Roscoe had that triggered this, you know, discussion as a new format. I'm, Ross knows I'm super excited about this and looking forward to sort of getting some other guests on and checking in with you in a couple of months and seeing how you're going. So thanks again.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you.
Well, Jamie.
Roscoe.
Jamie, great first episode back for 2024 and well done. Giving everything that you've got there to Scott in that short space of time. And I know you've got some other people lined up to come on and, you know, give insight into their challenges in the mental game on course. And likewise, we'll have similar conversation and it should probably be some different level of experience that we're going to get. But I really do think that anyone who sits back and listens to this is going to really enjoy and value the insights that you're getting, because the reason why they're here is because they want to, you know, understand their own mental game even more so. And this is a real tangible way that they can take as the example. That exercise that I did while I was sitting there listening to you and Scott work there, really powerful stuff. So thank you for wanting to give this way. And I'm looking forward to sitting here and, you know, pushing the record button and not doing too much else. But I get something out of every time that we do push that record button. And I do value the time together.
Thanks, mate. Now, look, it was good yesterday when we released, you know, that we're going to do this new podcast. I had probably close to 10 people reach out that want to put their hand up. And anyone that's listening, you know, I also recommend if this is something that you would be interested in and we have never worked together, I would love to have you on because, as you say, it's helping as many people to enjoy the game, both on and off the course. Using golf to be able to, you know, enhance your life and enjoy a hobby is going to benefit us all. And with the world we live in today, health and well-being is a very important thing. So thanks again, Roscoe, and we'll look forward to the next episode soon.
Beautiful. That's it. We're back and we'll see you very soon. We're going to do this and get all of these scheduled and you'll have something to listen to every few weeks, and we're looking forward to that. So thanks for listening to the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast again. It's great to be back, and we'll see you next time. There's no fancy music. We've got to work on some fancy music and intros and outros, Jamie. We'll see how we go with that. But right now, that's what was said today was the important part, and it's what's going to be said in the next podcast, and I look forward to seeing you then.